Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry. Today, where your host is none other than Minister Sadie Elliott, and I am so glad that you have tuned in today. We have a wonderful topic today: why are Christians persecuted? And before we begin today, I will start off with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come to you this morning in the most humblest way that we know how. Lord, we come to lift you up, to give you the praise. It's not about us. Everything we do is to the glory of God, to Heavenly Father. We come on this morning, to Heavenly Father, to share the good news with someone else, the Heavenly Father, that may be in the radio audience listening right now, the Heavenly Father. And I ask you, the Heavenly Father, for you to decrease me and increase you, the Heavenly Father, in the Word of God as we go in deeper into the Word of God today, the Heavenly Father. Let someone hear this broadcast today, the Heavenly Father, on why they are being persecuted. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen and thank God. And first of all, too, I would like to say Happy New Year's to everyone that's listening in. I hope you have a wonderful and a prosperous New Year, and hope you had a wonderful and a very Merry Christmas. Well, today, our topic is on why are Christians persecuted? And when you look at persecution and you think why Christians are persecuted, I have quite a few scriptures for you today. And I hope you have your paper and pencil. I'm going to give you some scriptures. I have a lot, but I'm going to give you a few. And as I go through the lesson today, I will also give you other scriptures. And our first scripture is coming from Jeremiah, the 19th chapter and the 14th verse. And you will also find that in Jeremiah, the 20th chapter and the 3rd verse. And when we look at this topic, what do you come to mind when you think about why are Christians persecuted? You are persecuted for righteous sake. You're persecuted in the church. You're persecuted on your job. Christians are persecuted in society from non-Christians, those that don't believe. And today, why and what is persecution? Well, the first great persecution for religious opinion broke out against the worshipers of God among the Jews in the days of Ahab, when that king, at the instigate of his wife Jezebel, I know y'all have read the story on that, she sought to get rid of the worshiping of Jehovah God and substitute in its place the worship of Ashtaroth and Baalah. Another thing on persecution came next was through Manasseh, who shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. You'll find that in 2 Kings 21 and 16. And for all of you that's on today, I hope you have your Bibles where you can listen in today. And also from 2 Kings 24 and 4. In all ages, in one form or another, the people of God have had to suffer persecution. In its earliest history, the Christian church passed through many blood persecution from way back. As you read the Word of God, as you go through the scriptures, you will find why Christians are persecuted. And persecution come from those who are ignorant of God and his will. When you read that, and you're going to think about probably something that I said today that will make you know about persecution. And as I went on a little further, thinking about and reading on persecution, it's a particle period of inflicting of punishment or penalty on a particular religious belief. Some people persecute a person for being this religion or being that religion because they are this and they are that. We are not to judge. We are serving one and true and living God. And oppression is to be distinguished from it. In the Word of God, Pharaoh oppressed the Hebrews. So did Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel and Jeremiah was persecuted. I know you read that as you studied the Word of God. Also, the Romans were tolerant toward alien religion belief in general. The Romans clashed with the Christian over the formality of cease of worship. I went way back to investigate how far persecution was. And Nero must be regarded as the first persecutioner in the Word of God. This emperor used a small Christian community as an escape go for a disaster fire in Rome, placing on the Christians the charge of arson that was popularly leveled against him. You see what great lengths people go through to persecute you? I know some of you are listening in right now probably have been persecuted on your job for righteous sakes, where you're not supposed to talk about God at the workplace, or you're not supposed to say this. Or if you do this here because this is what the Word of God said, or if you speak up and say, well, no, I don't do this on account of what the Word of God said, you'll be, and they feel you shouldn't do that, you're being persecuted. Even with family members, you're trying to bring them to Christ. Tell them, show them in the Word what thus said the Lord. And you can be persecuted through that way. In so many ways, we as Christians can be persecuted. And as I was reading, I was thinking, what persecution does to us today? I'm glad you asked. In Acts 8 and 1, the church in Jerusalem faced increased persecution so severe that many Christians were scattered. And you know, even in the body of Christ, you can be persecuted so that you leave the fellowship of believers because you feel so beat down, things that you didn't do that you're accused of doing, or things that you didn't say, or things you're doing that Christ told you to do. They will say, well, God didn't tell you that, or you shouldn't be doing this, or you shouldn't be doing that. But when you realize it, if you're not careful, and get yourself together and stay in the Word of God and know what the Word of God says, you would be just doomed in some of the things that they say. Also, I bring you to mind to Matthew's, the 24th chapter, the 8th through the 12th verse. And it was saying, you know, what persecution does today toward us, it will either bring believers closer or drive him further from God. And you know that for yourself. It makes you stronger if you look at it with the right attitude. And in 1 Peter 5 and 10, but the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, you're going to go through suffering. Persecution and suffering go hand in hand. You're going to go through some things for Christ's sake. But you have to continue on staying in the Word of God because you know he's the one that will bring you out no matter what is said and done. When you know you are living a true and a Christian life, you're doing what the Word of God say do. Not what everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry said, but what the Word of God is directing you and telling you to do from the Word of God. You won't go wrong. And it causes us to move about and do the will of God. Beat down, shy attitude, persecution will cause you to be beaten down so that you feel you can never come up. And it has you with such an attitude. You'll go in seclusion. And then the next thing, you end up leaving the fellowship. You leave the church because you've been beaten down so bad. You've been persecuted so bad that you feel there's no other alternative. But that caused us to leave the church, not leaning and depending on God, but doing what somebody else say do other than doing what the Word of the Lord say. Well, we have a caller have come on the air, and I will tune in to him at this time. Good morning, caller. You're now on the air with Joy and Peace Outreach. Welcome to the line today.
Good morning. God bless you. This is Pastor Varian.
Well, how are you doing, Pastor Varian?
I'm good, and I'm happy that I'm here to listen to the Word today.
Oh, praise God. Did you want to say anything to the audience on why a Christian persecuted?
I think a lot of times we don't understand that, you know, we must be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not persecuted, then we're not in the will of God, and we're not walking in the right path, and we're not who we think we are or who we appear to be if we are not persecuted,
mm-hmm.
because Jesus was persecuted.
Yes, yes, he was.
The disciples were persecuted. You know, they later became apostles. They were persecuted. Everyone who walked after Christ was persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in the body or associated or have fellowship and you're not persecuted, then there's a problem with that picture. It's not to say that you should want to be harmed or wronged, but if you are not being persecuted or afflicted or oppressed,
mm-hmm.
then you should know that you're not in the will of God.
That is so true. Oh, that is so true, woman of God. That is so true, because we are being persecuted every day.
Yes.
Whether we
and I found myself persecuted as well and on
mm-hmm.
the job. And, you know, for a long time I kept trying to figure out, because I didn't understand I was being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand, you know, why I was being treated the way that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would be like, well, why is this happening? What have I done to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't said anything wrong, I haven't done anything wrong, and why are these people treating me like this? And then I had to realize I'm being oppressed, I'm being afflicted, I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's not because I did anything, but it's because they recognize the Christ that's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't stand it. It's just like when you, when God tells us all the time, you are light in a dark world. When you shine light into darkness, darkness doesn't like light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just like when you, if you put, how can I say it? When you put a cat with a dog, dogs don't like cats.
Mm-hmm.
Cats
that's
don't
so
like
true.
Dogs.
That's so true.
So when he puts us in a place with people that are not necessarily with him at the time, not to say that they're bad people or wrong people or, you know, hateful or spiteful, but when he puts us, when he shines that light into the darkness, a real good example is a vampire. And, I mean, of course we know vampires are not real,
mm-hmm.
but when you take it in context of vampires don't go out into the daytime because they don't like the light.
Mm-hmm.
They come out in the darkness. They don't come out in the light, in
mm-hmm.
the day. They only have a specified time that they can come out. So we are that daytime. We are that light. When they come out there in that light, it burns.
Yes.
It hurts.
Yes, it does.
So when we see people and they see us and they see that light that's in us, they can't stand that light. The light is killing them. It's like death to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to get as far away from that light as possible, back into that comfort of that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they start to say things, and you're like, where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this person saying? It's coming from the inside of them because that light is shining into the darkness.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
And they're recognizing Jesus. It's not actually us. They're recognizing Jesus that's working within us, that's pulling that stuff out of them.
There you go. That's right. 'Cause that light, when your light is shining, and you are among darkness, it's going to show up.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
you cannot blend in.
That's right. That is so true. Also, I was saying, you know, saints should expect persecution, like you were saying, not too
yes.
long ago. And if they have their Bible, whoever listening, they can turn to Mark, the 10th chapter and the 30th verse. And it was saying, will receive now in return 100 times over house, brother, sister, mother, children, and property with persecution. And in the world to come, they will have eternal life. You know, saints should expect persecution, because we're going to have it. There's no way we're going to walk this green earth and not be persecuted.
Amen.
No way. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, there's so many people on the job being persecuted and don't realize that's what's happening to them.
True.
Uh-huh. A lot of times they say, well, they don't like me. I'm doing my job. And, well, what's happening, you know? And you really have to sit down and say, then when you start reading the word and seeing, and like I brought that topic today, while a Christian persecuted, you start saying, well, wait a minute, I'm being persecuted. Just try long. But Jesus was persecuted. They nailed him to the cross. So you know what they're going to do with me.
Exactly. And I had to come to that understanding, and Jesus had to give me that revelation, because, you know, it was not on my own account that I realized what was happening to me. It's because he revealed to me, you know, the Holy Ghost gave me what was happening and said, listen, this is what's happening to you, and this is why. But so many times we teach people and we preach to people, and I don't mean me or you, but, you know, so many other people who have led and taught and preached to people, that once you become a Christian, you live in this fairy tale paradise where nothing ever happens and everything's always great. And then when you become persecuted, you think it's not God. It's not the will when it is.
I'm telling you, they're going to have to come out of the out of that daydreaming world and face reality. Yes, Lord. And as I was going through, I was reading in Luke 21 and 12. It was saying, saints should expect persecution, but before all this occurred, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You will be accused before kings and governors of being my follower. And how many people you know of accused and being persecuted of following Christ? Doing what Christ say do. I tell you.
Yeah.
And then John.
Just, you know,
go ahead.
Something that we have to realize, but it's not something that we teach. And I don't mean, again, I don't mean you and I, but it's not something that the church is actually teaching people. They're not teaching people, when you follow Christ, these are the things that will follow you when you follow Christ.
Yes.
These are the things that will happen to you while you're following Christ. If these things are not happening to you and you claim to be following Christ, then you need to check yourself and examine if you really are following Christ. Because if you are, if these are the things that happen to Jesus, these are the things that happen to the apostles, how can they not happen to us? But we're not out there teaching people that this is the stuff that happens. So when it does happen, by and by, these people become offended because they're like, hey, wait a minute, this ain't God's will. He don't want, he want me happy. He want me blessed. He want me prosperous. He want me healthy and wealthy. Okay, well, wait a minute. If you go back into the Word, you forget Joseph. He was persecuted. He was sold into slavery. You know, he went into Pharaoh's house, and he was afflicted there with Pharaoh's wife and put into prison. After being sold into slavery, he was put into prison afterwards, after it seemed like he had done come out of the darkness. He was put back into prison again, back into bondage, lied on. He didn't even do it. Then he helped the butler and the baker. Then they didn't bring him out immediately. They didn't remember him like he said. It was 2 years before he was actually even remembered, and God put that dream in Pharaoh so that he could be remembered, so that he could be brought out. But we forget, look, you don't even look at the story of Joseph and see the affliction and the persecution and the oppression.
That is so true. Oh, I'm telling you, you know, and I try to bring topics to the listening audience that I feel, with God's help, you know, directing me, that people need to know, like you said not too long ago, a lot of things are not being said and taught in the church, so people will know when these things come up, they, it won't be a shock to them. They would be knowing from the Word of God, because they've been taught. They have heard it. And it's been being repeated and repeated, that it's in their vocabulary. They got it down in the pit of their belly, so they can call this thing up, you know, when they need it. And as I was going through in John 15 and 20, was saying that saints should expect persecution. And it said, do you remember when I told you a servant is not greater than the master? And since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you.
Yeah.
If they have
I think we forget
me, that.
That
we
you forget
right.
that.
You so right. And if they
and we don't read that right either.
That's right. We misinterpreted things. You know, we are putting. That's why it's not good to come up with cliches. go exactly what the Word of God says. Because so many people has been misled by cliches that's not in the Word of God. I tell them, if you tell me something, tell me where I find it so I can back it up in the Scripture. So I know that's what God thinks.
Oh, my God. You know, you just brought me confirmation. Because I had some people, you know, and I don't ever call people out because God never calls anybody out. But I had some people, they were saying that Jesus Christ, that he was taught by, you know, the schoolmasters and everybody else. And I said, well, show me where that says that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Show me where it says they taught Jesus. And because they taught him, that's how Jesus was doing what he was doing. Because if you look in the Bible, clearly you can tell it was not them who taught Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because when he was talking to them at the tender age of 12, they were astonished by what he knew. Now, you cannot make somebody astonished at what you know if you're only 12 years old. How can you know more than them? So you can't sit here and tell me that he was taught by them. He was teaching them at 12.
At 12. That's what the Word of God said. Now, you see, we both on the same page because we know that's what that's is backed up in Scripture. That's what the Word of God said. So if somebody come and want to tell me and you something different than what that Word said, we have to say, well, where did you see that at? Where did you get that? Well, tell me where you find that in the Word of God.
Because, and then they came with another scripture. Oh, if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says that you're supposed to study and go to school and this and that. And I said, well, wait a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says study to show yourself approved. That's your own study. That's not me going to theological school or seminary and studying in there. That's not even me going to Bible study. It said study. That meant my alone time. That meant, let's say I did go to Bible study and the pastor gave me some scriptures. That meant I went home to my house and I studied because God told me to study to show myself approved to him, first of all, not to the church, not to the bishop, to the deacon, not to the elder.
I'm telling you, oh, Jesus. I mean, you know, and I tell people, you know, when people go to talking about things, the first thing I say, it's not that I'm a religious nut, but I want to know more and more of God's word. I don't want cliches. I don't want what somebody else told you 2 years ago that's not backed up with scripture. So tell me, give me an inkling where it's at so I can find it in the word. You know, if you done said it a little bit different, but let me find it in the word of God, because everything you need is in the word of God. Every situation, every problem we go through, anything we go through, we can pick up the Word of God and God will have it already written there. What we need to how we need to do it, what we need to say, what we don't need to say.
And they were offended when I questioned what they said, just like they were in the Bible when Jesus was questioning them. They were offended. Oh, they went to openly, you know, reprove or rebuke me and, you know, to tell me how I didn't know what I was talking about, you know, especially because I'm a woman, too.
That's right.
I was talking about, and I needed to shut my mouth and listen and say, I mean, they didn't say it in those words, but, you know, to tell me that I needed to stand corrected and be in silence and learn and let them school me. So that's why you brought confirmation when you said that, because I said, you know what, Lord, I knew for a fact that it was the right thing to do not to just take what somebody says as face value. No, show me in the word what you're talking about. If you can't show me what you're talking about, then obviously you're not saying the right thing to me.
That's right. And on that, you know, I was thinking, you know, in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, it was saying yes. And everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And we have another caller have come on the air. Good morning, caller. You're now on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Bishop?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, praise God. Today, Bishop, we're talking about why are Christians persecuted. And I know you got a lot to share with me and this young lady from the Word of God.
Yes, ma'am. I believe you are persecuted first because the Word says, for those who know the Word, for those who believe in the Word, Matthew 13th chapter God, you're persecuted.
Yeah.
Secondly, I believe persecuted because of pride.
Yeah.
Many people want to be great, and they will attack the lesser people because of pride. And I believe that persecution is different from just general attacks and oppression. Persecution also comes because of the enemy's hatred for the righteous.
Yes, yes.
The enemy hates the righteousness of Christ, the righteous one. So he will cause persecution. And persecution can come because of jealousy.
Yes, yes.
So many people around who can be jealous of you, and it can set up persecution.
Uh-huh.
It can set up physical mistreatment, emotional mistreatment, sustained torture, cause you to suffer severely. All of these things, persecution started in the Bible with Jezebel and Ahab and their persecution prophecy. And we remember persecution in the New Testament with the Caesars coming against the Jews and then later the Christians. Persecution is part of our environment today. Yes, sir. And I believe when persecution comes up against us, there are certain things that we need to do.
Yes, sir.
We need to commit ourselves first to God.
All right.
Commit ourselves to God through the persecution.
Uh-huh.
Second thing, you got to watch your attitude.
All right.
I know old things. It matters not what you think of me, but it matters what I think of you.
All right.
You got to exhibit patience in front of the teacher. You got to be of a mind and a spirit as a patient person to go through persecution.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Word of God says you got to rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through persecution, glorify God, and most of all, pray for deliverance.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I want to declare all over the world that God will deliver you from persecution. God will deliver you from suffering, from oppression, and most of all, He will deliver you.
Yes, He will.
Persecution. Yes, I believe that. I believe that. So many times some people have tried to press me down. But God is interceding and some folks are gone because of their persecution.
Yes, Lord.
So it's a place to pray for those, I believe, who inflict you. Commit yourself to God. Exhibit patience, rejoice, glorify, pray for deliverance, pray for those who inflict you, and remember to look at what God has already done.
Yes.
Feel a thing, God. Let's do it again. Look for stand against the enemy. You got to be bold. And you got to be bold and dangerous, armed and dangerous to stand against the enemy. You got to be bold enough to say, I know what you are and what you're doing in the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes. You know,
every believer needs to stand
Yes.
Because fasting will give you wisdom to deal with the enemy.
Yes, it will.
Fasting will give you wisdom to deal with the persecutor.
Amen.
Fasting will help you maintain yourself.
Yes.
You got to fast. And I believe you got to walk right.
That's right.
Amen.
The word of God said, no good thing.
No good thing.
Will even haul from them.
That's
that
right.
Walk upright.
Upright. Ah, yes.
Hallelujah. No good thing. No good thing. No good thing. He will not hold persecution. He will not hold. You being persecuted, that's what happened. You better go ahead. I'm getting excited here.
Oh, Bishop, we just thank you.
Interference coming on
the line from somewhere. I don't know if someone's phone has a lot of static in it, but we're going to keep on lifting up the name of Jesus on this topic today. God is just so good. I don't know where the static coming from. But we're going to just talk a little louder over that static because we're not going to let the enemy come in today.
Amen. And, you know, God showed me also in persecution that he was working patient so many times that we don't have the necessary skills that's required to do the job. And just like when we're hired to do a job, they train us first.
That's right.
Just jump right into the job. No, you get the training first and then you do the job. So persecution for me, I would say, was a blessing. And just like the bishop was saying, when he said rejoice, you understand the reason why he's saying rejoice. Because what he's doing is teaching you how to deal with people so that, let's say, if he puts you in a position to where you are a bishop or a minister or a pastor, if somebody comes up against you and they're persecuting you or afflicting you or oppressing you by their words, you won't turn around then and displease God by your mouth because you've already had that patience work in you by the affliction that you've already took, by the persecution that already took place. It taught you how to humble yourself, even if you're not right. It taught you how to be quiet. It taught you how to be still. It taught you how to be patient and wait on God so that when somebody else comes up and they do the same thing, it doesn't have that effect on you now because you've already been through that training.
That's right. Ooh.
It's already taking place. So, you know, I had to learn that for myself. I had to thank God that I was persecuted because had I not been persecuted, if he would have just placed me somewhere and somebody would have said something to me that was wrong, the flesh would have popped up in 2 seconds.
Yes, yes.
And said, wait a minute, who are you talking to? And that's not of God.
That's right.
So I thank God, you know, that the persecution came and the affliction came and the oppression came. Because out of that, he birthed in me the fruit of the Spirit.
There you go.
He taught me to handle situations like he would handle situations. Like he sat there and listened to people mock him and scourge him and spit on him and all types of things to him. You cannot take that type of stuff happening to you if you have not been trained to go through it.
That's right. That's right. That is so true. And as you were saying, you know, rejoicing and glorifying God, pray for deliverance and pray for those who have inflicted you. Even when you know they have done wrong, you still pray for them. You still pray for them and lift them up before God and return blessings for it. You know, God will bless you. But what you do, like you said, you're going through, if you had not been humiliated and was humble yourself as a servant, you know, and you committed yourself to God, you have to know within yourself, who am I working for, God or the devil? And you know when you're working for God, you already know what's going to happen. You know, you know, you don't know when it's going to happen, but you know it's coming up. But you can be prepared yourself so when it hits, God have already took you through some. He done, you know, you've been prayed up, as Bishop said, you was fasting. And you was reading the word of God to see what God was saying to you and to the situation at hand. You know, and
because
I was
taught me how to pray for people no matter what was happening to me.
That's right. That is so true.
And I'm not going to say it was an easy thing to do because it wasn't.
No.
But the The more I did it, the easier it became. The more it happened, the easier it got to where, you know what, I can now see that this is happening because you need help, and God's trying to help you, and I have to be in my rightful, proper place for him to be able to help you, because if I misrepresent God right now, you're going to believe that this is how God handles his affair.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to be in my proper, rightful place and humble myself before you and before God so that he can get the glory out of this, because he can't get glory if I'm in the flesh.
That's not that. You say you got to come out that flesh and let the Holy Ghost be in control. And when we have to let flesh die daily, daily. It's a daily thing, because you know flesh will rise up in a minute.
Yes,
but we have to stay in that word and keep that flesh up subjection.
It will. And that's why people don't understand when they say, man, I done been through this situation, and it seems like this thing keep coming, and it keep coming, and it keep coming. Yeah, because he's trying to teach you how to deal with that. And if you don't learn how to deal with it, he can't put you in a higher place because you're going to contaminate the bunch. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If he puts you somewhere that you're not ready to go, you're going to contaminate his flock.
Yes.
Because you're not prepared for that position. You're not ready.
That's right. That is so
And he
true.
Cannot have you teaching people how to do the wrong thing in his name.
That's right. And you know, so many people don't realize that they get up, and if God hadn't called you to teach a thing, prepare it to bring to the people, you know, you, like you said, you're contaminating, you're polluting.
Yeah.
But you got to go to the Word of God and let God give it to you, what he wants you to say. You know, when you open your mouth, let God, ask God to speak through you, not you yourself.
Amen.
You know, because there's so many people do that. They want to be seen. They want to be popular.
Yeah.
They want to be this. They want to be that. But just be a servant of God. Girl, can use a servant. If he could use a donkey, you know about us.
That's right, man. And, you know, I had to learn that, too, because I had to understand that for myself. Like, you know, God's not trying to hurt me, but what he's trying to do is prepare me and train me.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get prepared and trained, he's not going to use me. I'm no good to him in the flesh.
That's right. That's right. And
I can't represent him as myself.
That's right.
I have to represent him the way he would represent. I don't know how many times it says in the scripture. I don't think, you know, we really be reading it, or we read over it so fast we don't get nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When the scripture say, be holy as I'm
holy.
Be
right.
Merciful as I'm merciful. Be righteous as I'm righteous. He's telling us right there in what he's saying, deal with situations how I would handle it, not how you would handle it.
That's
even if it hurt, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you so bad. Be quiet when that flex says scream. But that's how you die into that flesh. You're persecuting the flesh itself, because you cannot react when you want to. You cannot just jump up and say what you feel like saying. You can't just get up and do what you feel like. No, you got to sit down. You know,
yes, right.
What we were taught in school, keep all hands, feet, and other objects to yourself.
That's right.
That's what you have to do. You got to keep that stuff to yourself. You can't be distributing that stuff out there. You got to keep all that stuff to yourself. So if somebody walk up and insult you, you know, you got to say, well, thank you, and, you know, have a nice day. I hope everything works out good for you. And you got to keep going. And I'm not sitting here saying that that doesn't hurt. I know from experience. I may not be that old now, but I know from him teaching me that that stuff hurts like hell.
Yes,
to
it does.
To say something nice to somebody that just said something mean, to continuously get up every day and know for a fact that this is going to happen now, because you work with these people. You know they're going to say this stuff.
Right.
You know they're going to do it. But you go in there every day in the right mind and in the right spirit, ready to represent God as an ambassador, as a spokesperson, and you get up there and you show them the love of God.
That's right.
Because that's what's missing in their life, the love of God. And they can't get it if we're not giving it. If
that's
we decide
right.
we're going to jump out into the flesh because they done said something, now let's say we get in the spirit now, and now we're going to talk to them. They're not going to listen to you.
No, they're not.
You've already shown them that this is an act. This is
that's
not
right.
what you live. This is an act. You can put on a performance when it's time for you to take the stage.
Tell me about it. And we see that so much every week, day in and day out, because when we are in Christ, we're going to display Christ everywhere we go. Sure, people may make us mad, and they say turn the other cheek, but when they make
Amen.
Us mad, we're going to give them a smile, or we're going to give them a kind word from the Word of God.
Amen.
So, you know, I just thank God because He is just so worthy. He's worthy to be praised. And as
yes,
I was,
he is.
You know, as I was saying, what we must do as Christians today for deliverance. And as I was looking at that and reading, I said, look at what God has already done for us in our life.
Amen.
We know how to stand, just like you just finished standing. We know how to stand against the enemy. Because we
Amen.
Can say the word of God, say it boldly, stand in it, stand flat-footed to what Jesus said. We can decree that you are free. We
Amen.
Can fast, as we was talking about fasting. We can
yeah.
walk upright. They see us walk upright, even when they're doing something wrong, and they can't
yeah.
understand it. Like you were saying just a while ago about a few things, like on jobs. I remember when I was in the workforce, and I would come in just as jolly. I didn't care what had went on before I got there. But when I came in, I was jolly. I felt good all day. And I would say, well, good morning. How are you doing? And,
yeah.
you know, little negative things come back to, well, what's so good about this morning? I come right back. I
uh-huh.
say, baby, God woke you up this morning with your health
Amen.
And strength. You had a car you can get to work with. You got some nice clothes. You can't help but praise God. And before the
Amen.
Course of a day, they be done thought about what you say. And then they try to get, you know, nasty attitude with somebody, and somebody else will put them in check, or somebody
yeah.
give them the word of God just as sweet. And before that day over, they got to come to you. I want that what you have. So when God gave me this name for the show and for the ministry that I have, that is His ministry, I'm just overseeing it, just the
Amen.
Overseer of it, because it's not mine, it's His. But when He said
Amen.
Joy and peace, He let me know you already have the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know how to have that peace, that inner with peace, that, you
yeah.
know, passes all understanding. And I just give God praise, you know, and watch
yeah.
your attitude in persecution. When people being persecuting
yeah.
you, watch your attitude in it. You know, it may be hard right then. Something they're saying that's harsh, and you know, you say, well, why are they going that way? Well, what they trying to say or whatever, you know,
yeah.
may come up in your mind. But then once, like we were saying earlier, once being rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
Yeah.
What they said, we're going to fly right over our shoulder, right over our
yeah.
head, like we didn't even hear
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And like some people say, it's just like a water pouring down a dust bag. If it don't fit you, let it fly.
Amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And, you know, I think some people also don't realize persecution is also, number one, first and foremost, to train us. But number two is what the enemy uses to try to get us out of the will of God. Because
yeah.
when you, let's say you persecuting me right now, and I might not let that affect me while you're doing it. But
mm-hmm.
now let's say now I go home and somebody in the house now says
mm-hmm.
something to me or does something to me. Now we're going to have an issue. So now he's taking something that didn't initially affect me right here,
mm-hmm.
but in the instance when I went home, it actually did take effect, and it actually did get me out of the wheel. I didn't get out of the wheel in front of other people who,
right.
you know, can talk about me, but I
mm-hmm.
did go home then and let someone at home do something
mm-hmm.
that made me upset, and I brought it right out. So he still accomplished his goal. Even though you didn't do it in the office, you went home and did it. That's 10
that's
times worse, actually,
right.
when you're doing it in the house than in the office.
Yeah,
because those are the people you got to live with. Those people
that's
have to
right.
live with you and
that's
know
right.
you. And now you're showing them that it's okay to say one thing and to do another.
Mm. Bishop, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, we have
yes.
10 minutes. I know you have some more to tell us today on persecution. This has been a wonderful day or morning with this topic. That we all are learning so much and sharing what God have given to each and every one of us. And what would you like to say more on the topic today on why are Christians persecuted, Bishop?
I think we're persecuted. I think we suffer because, one, if you go through something, your character is developed.
Mm-hmm.
Going through something with the right attitude, going through something prayed up with your mind on Jesus, studying the Word, getting the revelation, while you're going through something, it develops the character in you. Secondly, I believe that suffering can even bring you closer to God or drive you away from Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's all how you look at how you look at the incident, the atmosphere, the persecution, the suffering, how you look at it,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you closer to God or whether you pull further away from Him.
Yes.
Suffering will make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It will make you stronger. Persecution will make a believer stronger.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you go through it, you remember that God has already taken you through it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you go through it and the inner man becomes stronger.
Yes.
1 Peter 5:10, Peter talks about suffering. He says, after you suffer a while, it makes you what?
Yes.
Makes you perfect. 2, saddles you, strengthen you, sell you. He says, it makes you perfect. You begin to become mature through
mm-hmm.
that situation. Establish you in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
You become more faith-focused then. And then it strengthens the inner man. And listen at this. Suffering will settle you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sell you, makes you quieten down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you'll start looking at things differently. I believe that suffering can cause you to leave a church. Persecution can cause you to leave a church if you are not rooted and grounded in God.
That is true.
Because you look at the persecution rather than looking at God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the last thing I believe that persecution does for us, it'll make you move also in God. You remember that the Jews in the 8th chapter of Acts, persecution was so heavy on them that they began to scatter. But in their scattering, they did the will of God. They talked about Jesus. In their scattering, the persecution increased, their witnessing increased, and the area of scope that they went to increased. I just believe that if you have the right attitude,
mm-hmm.
that persecution can be a blessing for you.
Yes. Oh, Bishop, I really thank you and my call. And I have another caller on. Let me see if I can hook them up. Y'all stay hooked up now. And let me see if they want to say anything. Caller, would you like to say something today? Caller, you on the air. Would you like to add anything today to our topic? Okay. Well, praise be to God. Oh, well, this has been a wonderful show. We have 5 minutes left. We want to thank everyone that tuned in to the show today. Why are Christians persecuted? We hope that each person that tuned in, whether it was morning, evening, or night, when they hear this program, will get something out of it. that they will pick up the word of God and go through it for themselves and be able to get some of the scriptures down that we gave this morning that will help them realize what they should do when they're being persecuted and what we must do today for deliverance of persecution. And also some negative ways does persecution affect our lives. And there are some negative ways that that does. I didn't get to it today. And cause you to hide. Encouragement in persecution. And we can have prayer for deliverance for persecution. That topic grows. It's really big. It goes out a lot. But I want everyone that can come in on next week. We have a good topic on next week that we'll be bringing on listening is important. And think, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to become why is listening important, coming from Proverbs, the first chapter, the 8th through the 9th verse. But I want to thank every one of the guests that came on today. I just thank God for every participation, everyone that had something to share with the audience that will be listening in sometime in the morning, evening, or night. And I want to thank each and every one of you all because everything y'all said, I know it helped me. It helped somebody else because we all about God's business. We all come on here to uplift the kingdom of God. It may be someone in the sound of my voice right now that tuned in on their computer that do not know Jesus, that would like to come into the fellowship of God, that would like to know him better. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 10 and 9, 9 and 10. Also read Romans 8, because God is standing right at the door knocking. And all you have to do is let him in your heart. He's not going to force you. He's right there. He will give you everything you need. So today I want to tell everyone that was listening in, thank you for tuning in to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry. And keep looking for us that come on every Wednesday morning from 10 to 10:30 and sometime 10 to 11 o'clock, depending on the topic, how long it may be. And we want others to call in. And with you all that came in on today, I can't thank you and thank you enough because y'all made the show possible today. And I want y'all to have a happy, happy new year. If I don't get to speak to y'all again before next Wednesday, in Jesus' name, I hope we all can meet here together again in the new year and 2010 on Joy and Peace Outreach. Do anyone want to say anything else before we close out with prayer?
I just want to say God bless everybody. I thank you so much for having the broadcast. I thank God for leading me here because it wasn't by chance or by choice. But, you know, to God be the glory for everything that went forth and that was said. Because like you said, it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's not about how we can preach or teach or profit or prosper. It's all about him, the kingdom, and Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes. Bishop, would you like to say anything? Because we have 1 minute left.
Well, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you and your endeavor. And may God bless you and yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And as we get ready to leave the line, it was going to play Encourage Yourself. So today I want to say God bless each and every person that called in and that's listening. Happy New Year's. God love you. And if I was an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you all and tell you just how much I love you. Have a blessed, blessed day and continue on walking in the newness of the Lord. Let that light shine where others, men and women, boys and girls, may see what God is doing for you in your life. Because he's such a good God. He's such an awesome God. And I know he have done so much for you in 2009. And just think of what he's going to do for you in 2010. Be blessed. Be blessed. I love each and every one of you all. And now I will close it out with Encourage Yourself.